Falls are a really huge problem. When you shift that much fluid and that many electrolytes in a short amount of time, which I know 3.5 hours doesn't sound short, you can feel dizzy, lightheaded. Falling once they get back to the care facility is a big concern. Even them falling in the dialysis unit can be a big concern.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today, we're talking all about dialysis care, what it is, and what are some of the common pitfalls for when nursing home residents receive it. But we're not having that conversation alone. We have the fantastic Nikki Chambers on to walk us through that process. All right, now it's time for the nursing home regulation question of the week and your opportunity to win a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. Well, how do I win that mug? Well, it's easy. You go to our TikTok page, which is at Justice for Residents, and find this week's question of the week. It'll be the one that has Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as the thumbnail. You're going to click on that thumbnail. You're going to post your answer to the question as well as your favorite classic Christmas song. My favorite classic Christmas song is Run, Run, Rudolph by Chuck Berry. Why are we doing Christmas stuff right now? I'm sure it's not Christmas time. Well, it's possible. I record a ton of these episodes at once, and I don't know when they come out. All I know is I record them, they go in a queue, but maybe it's Christmas time when this comes out. I don't know. Anyway, Run, Run, Rudolph. That's my favorite Christmas song. Once you do that, you'll be randomly selected, but who are we kidding? No one ever participates in this. Winners are announced on Sunday at shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. The prize is shipped at the end of the month. So let's get to the question. This week, I think the difficulty level is going to be medium. It's medium saucy. If you get this right, allow yourself to get an extra pump of caramel in your caramel macchiato this week. Under 42 CFR 483.50A2, which requires nursing homes to provide or obtain laboratory services, what must facilities ensure regarding these services? Is it A, laboratory tests are ordered by the attending physician and results are promptly reported to the ordering physician? B, laboratory tests are only performed if the facility deems them necessary, regardless of a physician's order? Or C, residents must personally arrange for all laboratory testing and transport? And that answer is clearly A. Laboratory tests are ordered by the attending physician and the results must be given to that attending physician within a reasonable amount of time. All right, now it is time for the meat and potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, we're talking all about dialysis, but we're not doing that alone. We have the fantastic Nikki Chambers. Nikki Chambers is president and CEO of Chambers Medical Legal Nurse Consulting, LLC. Nikki is a master's degree prepared nurse with a post-master's in business and teaching nursing. She gained extensive experience in the hospital setting, working in various positions and units, including medical surgical, ICU, dialysis, and nursing hospital administration. Her experience in teaching facilities gives her a unique insight into how hospitals and medical teams run and what should and should not occur. And we are so happy to have her on the show. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Sometimes I'll start the episode off with a softball question. This episode will be no different. So the softball question for you, Nikki, is walk us through what is dialysis, what is that treatment, and what is it treating?
Okay, so that's a great question. So we have these organs in our body called the kidneys, and they filter out all of our waste products and extra fluid on board. And when people have complications with their kidneys and they're not working optimally, they need an assistive measure, an artificial kidney, if you will, to clean their blood and to take off any of that extra waste and fluid. Without dialysis, these patients become fluid overloaded, which means that they can't breathe very well. It starts impacting both respiratory and cardiovascular systems, as well as those waste products build up in their blood and they can become toxic and end up in the hospital. So dialysis, there's different modes of dialysis, but pretty much most is hemodialysis that you would see, which is actually putting needles in somebody's fistula and removing their blood, washing it with the filter, and then sending it back to them in a clean way so that their kidneys obviously just aren't doing their job.
What are the most common clinical conditions that would make someone a candidate for dialysis? Like what are the typical diseases or problems that would require it?
Right. So, I mean, people can have genetic issues where their kidneys just don't function very well, but usually that's pretty isolated. Usually what we see is people that have a lot of other comorbidities. They're a diabetic. They have cardiovascular issues that impede their kidney function, or they're a smoker. There's all these other things that come in together that make them a higher risk for end-stage renal disease. Medications can do it too. But putting those all together, your typical clientele in the nursing home are not going to be just your having a genetic predisposition for it. Usually they're going to have a lot of other comorbidities that make them really sick patients to deal with.
And typically, is dialysis the type of treatment that is provided at a nursing home, or is this something that is done somewhere else?
It's usually done someplace else. However, that being said, there are some nursing homes that do peritoneal dialysis, which that is a different mode of dialysis where there's a catheter in your stomach. But those nursing home nurses have to be trained in order to do that exchange of putting fluid into that person's abdomen and then draining it out. They have to have specialization in that. So there's not many nursing homes that will do that type of thing just because it's one more thing that they need to be able to be trained in. And they have to work really closely with the nephrologist and the dialysis unit to make sure that those things are being done sufficiently.
When the resident is in the dialysis clinic and they're going through the dialysis treatment, walk us through what we see. Are they sitting in a chair? Are they in a bed? Is there what the machines are loud? Like kind of walk us through that process.
So there's different units based on the need that some residents may not be ambulatory. They may come in a wheelchair, or they may be transported from the nursing home in a bed. And so the setup of the dialysis units has flexibility for that. A majority of those stations, per se, are chair, machine, chair, machine. And it's a big open area. But we do have to take in account for those patients that do come in beds, as well as those people that may be on some sort of restriction. They're on isolation protocol, or they can't be out in the open with other people. So there's the variety of those stations available. But usually what you see in a dialysis unit is you see a dialysis, like a desk in the middle where the nurses and techs are at, and then an open unit where they can see all of the machines, because that's a requirement. You have to have eyes on patients. You can't have them behind closed doors necessarily. You have to have eyes on to make sure that you're monitoring for any of those complications that may occur. People can exsanguinate in dialysis, meaning like their needles can pop out and they could be pumping out blood really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have eyes on them. And yes, there are a lot of alarms in dialysis, so it can be noisy and beepy. Typically, a resident will come in, they'll get weighed as soon as they come in, because we need to know, since their last treatment, how much fluid have they retained? Because we have to establish what we call a dry weight. You and I, we have kidneys that function. And so we have a pretty constant weight because our kidneys are doing their job and we go to the bathroom throughout the day. These guys, their kidneys aren't working, so they're not urinating at all. So they can build up, you know, say somebody gets dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from their Monday treatment to their Wednesday treatment, they may gain 6 pounds of fluid. And so we need to know where they came in at, measure where they were last time, and figure out how much fluid we need to pull off in that treatment. So they get weighed, then they get put in their dialysis chair or bed. They have an assessment, and then we start our dialysis treatment.
How long does the typical, I guess this is a two-parter. How often does the typical resident need to go to dialysis? And typically, how long does dialysis take once you're there?
Okay. So a typical person, just run of the mill, 3 times a week minimum. Okay. There's usually not less than 3 times a week. And then once they're there, they're sitting in that chair for 3.5 to 4.5, maybe 5 hours at a time. So this is a part-time job for them, coming to dialysis, and then you have to transport them and everything else. This is pretty much their life, a dialysis patient. They come to dialysis, and then they get transported back.
At the dialysis center, what are the common ways in which that process can be messed up? Like, where are the common pitfalls in receiving dialysis at the dialysis clinic?
Oh, there's a lot. It's a very technical process. So it can happen with somebody removing too much fluid. So you come in, you get weighed, and they say you're 6 pounds up, and maybe they take more than that. Okay, so that's number one. You can remove too much fluid. Number two, the settings on the machine can be wrong. So somebody comes in and their potassium's really high, and they have to be put on a special bath to wash that blood to get it back to a normal level. That can be wrong. Also, the actual placement of the needles, if somebody has a fistula, those can get dislodged and the needles can come out. That's another issue. Air can get in the line. So if you're talking about having two needles in your arm, one's pulling blood, one's pushing blood back in that's clean, the machine itself is a closed circuit, but it can get air in it. So an air bubble going right back into the patient's system can cause an air embolism. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with dialysis, and that's why we just have to keep a really close eye on them to ensure that they're getting the treatment that they need and that they're being monitored appropriately. After dialysis, falls are a really huge problem. When you shift that much fluid and that many electrolytes in a short amount of time, which I know 3.5 hours doesn't sound short, but you know, if you're removing 6 pounds of fluid off and shifting all those electrolytes, you can feel dizzy, lightheaded. So falling once they get back to the care facility is a big concern. Even them falling in the dialysis unit can be a big concern.
Well, that's a lot of serious issues that can go on at the dialysis center. So like typically who's there? Are these CNAs? Are these nurses? Are there physicians at the dialysis center typically?
It depends on the setup of the dialysis unit. If it's attached to a hospital, like if it's in a hospital type setting, even though it's an outpatient clinic, there may be doctors roaming through. But a majority of the time, regardless of the setting, you're going to have dialysis technicians, and then you're going to have registered nurses that are overseeing the dialysis technician's job. So those are usually the main two that are there. The dialysis nephrology team, they have to come and see the patient at least once a month. They have to come in and do their assessments, do their rounds, look at all of their labs, that kind of stuff. But you're not routinely going to see a nephrologist wandering through the dialysis center on a regular basis.
Once the resident is back at the nursing home, having received dialysis, you mentioned that falls are a potential risk. What are some of the other problems that you see once the resident is back at the facility?
So there are, again, a number of things. These are not healthy people. Let's just like hone that in. These people usually have lots of other comorbidities. And so when they get back, not only are we worried about falls, but then we have to make sure that they're eating the appropriate diet, which doesn't sound like it's a big thing. But when your body's not able to get rid of those toxins, you're eating a bunch of bananas and your potassium is going to go up, and that's going to cause problems with your heart. So making sure they're on the exact diet, which if you've ever had a renal diet, they are gross. Everything that you've been told about what a healthy diet is, the opposite is true for dialysis. So, you know, people say eat whole wheat bread. No, dialysis patients have to eat white bread if they're going to eat white bread. Brown rice versus white rice, things like that. They just have to have a very strict diet, which is not super flavorful. Two, they have to limit their fluid intake. They can't just be guzzling it down because then their fluid levels are going to balloon up. Other things that they are really prone for in a nursing home setting are wounds. So already you've got this person that's already at risk for wounds being in a nursing home setting, but then you make them, their kidneys have a big portion with albumin and that production and the ability to keep albumin in your body. So when you have a low albumin, you're going to be at a higher risk for getting wounds that don't heal, that are difficult to deal with, and then you get infections in them. So these patients just need to have a lot of care and attention given to them.
Well, I guess I never considered the nutritional aspect of that, where you're, you know, not whole wheat, white bread, that kind of stuff, reducing the fluids. That's really interesting. So that kind of, if you can, why is, I understand the fluid retention, I get that. But like, I'm trying to understand, like, what difference does it make whether you would have wheat bread or white bread?
It's the nutritional components in it, because your kidneys, which usually would be pulling extra whatever is in there out, it's not able to do that. And so you just have to decrease some of those extra nutrients, I guess you could say, that are in specific kind of foods. Like they can't eat strawberries. They can't, there's just a whole list of things that they cannot eat. And if they do choose to eat them, then they have to be on other medications to bind the phosphorus that's in those foods, or whatever the case may be. And that's something that we struggle with having patients in nursing homes, is that they're not getting the appropriate diet. They're not having their fluids restricted. And on top of both of those things, then they don't make it to their dialysis session. Somebody decides that transport's not available today, so you're not going to get to dialysis. That's a huge, huge risk for patients. They can't go that long in between. They're going to end up back in the ICU.
If the dialysis patient either doesn't get dialysis in a timely fashion, or perhaps they're drinking too much liquid, or they're not getting the proper diet, how does that typically present? Like, what are the signs and symptoms that has occurred?
So for fluid wise, you would see that there'd be difficulty breathing. You would also see the veins in their neck. They would get distended. They would get full. You'd be able to see them poking out, meaning that they just had too much fluid on board. If their potassium is too high, they can get headaches. They can get weak. They can get dizzy. They can start having chest pains and end up with a cardiac event that way too. So there's lots of different ways that they can present with that.
And in the last kind of minute or so, Nikki, what if you had a family in front of you that had a loved one in a nursing home that was receiving dialysis, kind of what advice or what would you tell them?
One, I would tell them that they need to be involved in that, in their loved one's care, to make sure that these basic things are being done. You know, the diet is correct, that people aren't bringing them in treats that they're not supposed to be getting, watching their fluid intake. And then probably most above everything else is that they need to come to dialysis, and they need to come to dialysis when they don't feel good, because that's usually an indication that they need dialysis. Whereas somebody else, like if we're sick and we don't want to go to work, right? That's different. This is their job. But when they feel crappy, they have to come, because there's usually something wrong, and we'll draw labs when they get there to see what's making them feel so bad. And maybe that means that we have to call the nephrologist and have their prescription for dialysis adjusted. But more than anything, making sure that your loved one comes to dialysis on a regularly scheduled, that they don't skip.
Well, Nikki, we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us today.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Folks, I hope that you enjoyed this episode and found it educational. If you have an idea for a topic that you would like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have an idea for a guest that you'd like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. As always, I beg you, on my hands and knees, to get a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. I don't want to have to give 100 of these mugs to Goodwill. You know what to do. At Justice for Residents or TikTok, or just anything. Like, I don't care. Like, stick your head out your office window and yell out, "Rob, I want a coffee mug. I'll give you one." No rules. Just like Thunder Road. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single week on Monday. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.